Good morning, everyone. Today we'll be doing a reading from the book of Luke 5, 27 to 32. Jesus calls Levi and eats with sinners. After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. "Follow me," Jesus said to him. And Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, who had belonged to their sect, complained about his disciples. "Why do they eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus answered them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance."
It's 3:30 in the morning, drinking my coffee and eating this dirty donut. Into the room come about 8 or 9 prostitutes, and they sat down on either side of me. And I tried to disappear. And the one on my immediate right said, "Tomorrow's my birthday," she said to her friend. "I'm going to be 39. Her friend said, "So what do you want me to do? Sing happy birthday? You want a cake? What should we do? Have a party for you? You're going to be 39. First woman said, "Look, I'm not expecting anything. Why do you have to put me down?" And then she said, with a crack in her voice, "I've never had a birthday party in my whole life. I don't expect to have one now." That did it. I waited till they all left, and I was the only one left. I called Harry over. I said, "Do they come in here every night?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "The one next to me?" He said, "Agnes." I said, "Tomorrow's her birthday. What do you say we decorate the place? And when she comes in tomorrow, we have a birthday party for her, because I heard her say she's never had a birthday party in her whole life." He said, "Mister, that's brilliant. That is brilliant. Jane," he called his wife out of the back room. She did the cooking. "He wants to throw a birthday party for Agnes." I thought, "Jeez, this is great." She comes out. She grabs my hand. She says, "Mister, you wouldn't understand this because of what she does, you know, but she's one of the kind people in this town. She's one of the caring people in this town." I said, "Look, can I decorate the place?" She said, "To your heart's content." I said, "I'm going to bring a birthday cake." Harry said, "Oh, no, the cake's my thing." I thought, "Oh, geez, you know, God." So I got there the next morning. I got there the next morning at about 2:30. I had bought crepe paper at the Kmart, strung it across the place, made a big sign that said, "Happy birthday, Agnes," put it on the mirror behind the counter. I had the place spruced.
I'll pause it there, because Tony Hamola has a way of telling a story and taking about 15 minutes to do it, which is really good, but we don't have 15 minutes for you to hear the whole story at the moment. But the setup is, he's at this cafe, he comes across this group of prostitutes. One of them's never had a birthday party. He sets out, they hold the birthday party, it changes her life to some degree. And they ask at the end, Harry, the cook, says to him, because he finds out that Tony Hamola goes to church, and that you know, part of the reason why he's done this is because of his faith, because of his belief. And he asked him, what kind of church do you belong to? He's kind of like shocked, like, who is this guy who's like here at 3:30 who goes to church throwing a party for prostitutes? And Tony Hamola responds with this: "I belong to the kind of church that throws birthday parties for prostitutes at 3:30 in the morning." I wonder how that strikes you. I wonder how right you think, "Ooh, did James just say the word prostitute in church? Like, ooh, that's a bit uncomfortable. Like, are we really talking about this? Do I have to? Are we, you know, tonight? We're all going out to Northbridge? No, we're not." It's an interesting thought. What does it take to have a faith that takes you to those places where you just hear a little thrown away line where you're kind of trying to hide because you're surrounded by prostitutes, and it's not, you know, where he'll normally find himself. It's a bit awkward. But you hear that line and say, "You know what? We can do something for this lady." She'll never forget that day. And this is a true story. This is not a fabricated story. It's a true story. she'll never forget her first birthday at age 39. Just changing gears a little bit, I'd like you to think about all the significant moments in your life and how many of them in some way involve food. You know, weddings, funerals, significant birthdays. When you're having friends come around, what do? You invite them over for dinner. When that friend who's come back from being away for a really long time, you just wave at them through the window. No, you invite them around, you cook a roast, you get something together, and you eat with them. There's something special about eating together. There's something important about eating together. We continue our series today called BLESS, looking at engaging the world around us. And yes, BLESS is an acronym. It stands for different words across the way. So each letter has something. The first week we looked at the B, which was begin with prayer, that we always need to begin with prayer. That we start from a place, and anyone can do that. Anybody can pray. It doesn't actually matter. Anybody can actually start with prayer. The second one is L, and that was last week. That was listen without judgment. Listen without actually judging what is being said to you. To have that capacity to hear what someone is saying and to maybe not agree with what they're saying, but not feeling the need to correct them. That as we talk to those who might be far from God, and if they're actually willing to share with us what's going on in the heart of hearts, what's actually going on for them, they're not looking for judgment, they're looking for a listening ear. And are we able to put our own thoughts and motives aside and just listen? Well, the next kind of step along the continuum is eat. The E stands for eat. Yes, I am commanding you to eat. Well, you know, anyway. Most of us will eat over 1,000 meals this year. And that doesn't include snacks that you kind of pretend. That's just a long dinner, right? You just, you know, you start dinner at 6, and when you go to bed at 10, you've just had dinner that whole time, and all those little extras you might have across the night, that's just part of dinner. You'll actually have about 1,000 meals this year. That's a lot of meals. What if you were to take some of those meals and actually intentionally invest those meals with other people? To actually think strategically, intentionally, how can I do less eating by myself? And if that's like your special place, you still need to have those times. But how actually can I maybe think about the fact that I do breakfast, lunch, and dinner, generally speaking, most days all year? How could I use those times to actually intentionally invest them in other people? Now, the Gospel of Luke alone has 10 stories that involve Jesus and food. That's just within the Gospel of Luke. Stories that in some way involve Jesus and food being significant in that place. So we're going to look at a couple of those today. First one, we just had read to us. And there's this great big banquet. So Levi, which is also known as Matthew. So the book of Matthew in the New Testament, that's written by the same person whose name was also Levi. He was a tax collector. Now, if you think being a prostitute or hearing the word prostitute in church is uncomfortable, that's what saying the word tax collector around a Pharisee was like. The tax collectors were the lowest of the low. They were just, it would often say in the Bible that Jesus hung around with sinners and tax collectors, because tax collectors couldn't just be included in sinners. They were another level beneath that. And it's fascinating in the story that says here, and Jesus responds when it says that Jesus is hanging around these tax collectors and these sinners. And Jesus looks at them and says, well, of course I am. It's not the healthy that need a doctor. It's the sick. Jesus' very purpose for being on this earth was to live, die, and rise again so that sinners could come to know him as Lord and actually become healthy, be saved. And so is ours. As followers of Jesus, we actually don't just follow Jesus so that we can go to heaven when we die. We follow Jesus because there's actually something important. There's a work that he has for us to do. And it involves eating. I mean, this is a really good thing. This is good news. This actually shouldn't be that hard. It's a really good thing. In Luke 7, 33 to 35, we find this. For John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine. And you say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking. And you say he's a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and of sinners. But wisdom is proved right by all her children. It wasn't uncommon for Jesus to be called a glutton and a drunkard. That doesn't mean he was. That doesn't mean Jesus was like drinking to excess and he was sort of, you know, walking around in a stupor. All it means is that they basically saw how often he was with those people. How often he was with the tax collectors, how often he was with sinners, how often he was with people who were drunk, how often he was with gluttons. And yes, you can eat too much, so there is another aspect to the message we have to think about. It doesn't mean that he was those things, but you wouldn't be called that if he wasn't caught in those places on a regular basis. He wouldn't be called a glutton and a drunkard if it wasn't that it was just part of his practice to regularly be in places where he was around people that weren't who the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the teachers of the law expected someone like Jesus to be with. And the other thing that I find fascinating about this is he actually didn't seem to care. He didn't go, oh, no, I'm not a glutton and a drunkard. Look, here's my light lemon lime bitters. Here's my lemon. I'm good. Like, I am not a drunkard and a glutton. He actually didn't seem to care about the accusation. He didn't feel the need to justify. He didn't feel the need to sort of push that aside. He was concerned for the people that he was with. He was most concerned to be where he needed to be, to provide the hope and the message that was needed to those who needed it. He didn't feel that need to justify and come back to it. In Luke 10, verse 38 to 42, for those of you who are now thinking you're going to have to like schedule this and plan it and you're getting really sort of like, oh my goodness, this has become overwhelming. Well, take note of this story. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me. I can almost imagine her sitting here going, you know, looking at her sister like, now you're going to get it. Jesus is going to come and tell you and you're going to get sent into here. You're going to have to come and help me. And instead, Jesus looked at her and says, Martha, Martha. The Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better and will not be taken away from her. I think we can take this too far and it can become this really big thing where I've got to like have this big feast and I'm going to invite all these people over. And all Jesus was looking for in this story was for Mary to be with him. Food was part of it. They were preparing a feast. It was not uncommon to eat together, but it was not the focus. It was just an excuse to be together. And he wasn't going to tell Mary, you need to go and get busy. You need to make this complicated. And he said, no, just come and sit at my feet. As you think about how you might engage others around food, don't necessarily think about doing a progressive dinner and having to have like seven people create this really big feast and do something crazy. Who could you get coffee with? Maybe you've got a shop that's near your workplace and you could actually just take one of your workmates out for lunch or for breakfast, or you could catch up for them. Maybe there's something nearby where you're at. Think about how you can keep it simple. Let food be a part of it, because there is absolutely so much throughout the scriptures of how food creates an environment that enables this to happen. In Luke 22, verse 14 to 18, we find this. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God." And after taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." Now, this is what I was just saying before. Meals naturally create an environment that enables more meaningful engagement. Now, the meal itself is important, and obviously, you know, if you're always serving up burnt food, they're not going to come back. So think about your own level of skills and things before you actually do decide to do something really big and crazy. But again and again throughout the Bible, you see food playing an essential role. And that one of the ways we can actually engage people that are beyond us, who are out there who need to know Jesus, a really simple practice, is just encourage and increase the number of times that you eat with other people. And make sure you've got time in your life so that you're not only catching up with and eating food with and doing these things with other followers of Jesus. The other thing that we can actually do in following Jesus, we can be so busy doing the church stuff and the God stuff and so busy with our friends that actually we don't think about those who might actually be distant in that place. Right? Being a church that is hospitable and welcoming. Here's an easy practice. When we have our morning tea after church on a Sunday, who could you catch up with that you haven't had a conversation with in the last couple of months? How could you maybe have your first thought be, not let's go catch that person that I always talk to or that I see during the week or that I do in other places. Are there any visitors or other people I haven't actually had a chance to get to know or get to meet? Or is there someone else that I can go and have a chat with first? And something about having that, you know, the coffee and having a bit of food that's always delicious every week. Thank you for all those who provide that. It's lovely. It just creates environments that encourage relationship. See, how do you follow Jesus 101? Find excuses to eat with people. Make sure you keep the word "with" there. I've said this a few times in my practicing and I forgot the word "with," and that goes really badly. Find excuses to eat with people. Like, genuinely, find ways during your week. Think about coffees and breakfasts and lunches, not overwhelming, not, you know, making it too complicated. Maybe it's once a month. You might say, once a month, I'm going to make sure that I catch up with one of my friends or one of my colleagues or one of the people who I know is far from God, just to create that space that I can sit and listen and know more about what's going on in their life. Find ways and excuses to do this. Henry Nouwen once said, "When we invite friends for a meal, we do so much more than offer them food for their bodies. We offer friendship, fellowship, good conversation, intimacy and closeness. When we say, 'Help yourself, take some more, don't be shy, have another glass,' we offer our guests not only our food and drink, but also ourselves. A spiritual bond grows and we become food and drink for one another." There's something significant about food and finding ways and excuses to engage with people around food. A couple of questions just for you to reflect on as you think about what this might look like. Who are you, or who could you share a meal with this week, this month? Who's maybe that name that comes? So maybe you might actually be going, you know what, I actually already do this. Okay, I'm not asking you to do more. Take this as an encouragement. You know what, every month I always catch up with this group of people. Every month I do this. Or, you know, I'm actually really intentional at making sure that my neighbor and I catch up. Or I make sure that my work colleagues and I, we go out for Friday drinks. And I'd love to go home, but actually I make it a priority to go out with them as well. Not necessarily adding something on top of what you already would be doing. But if you're not, think about who could you start to create this sort of space with? How could you make sure that this is a practice that goes on? Because remember, Jesus was called a glutton and a drunkard. He was so commonly caught with people that were not the usual suspects. He was so commonly around those who desperately needed someone like him. Our friends and our neighbors and the people in our neighborhoods and our community that are far from God actually need Christians who will exit our own spaces and intentionally place ourselves in relationship with those to give them that opportunity to taste Jesus, to smell Jesus in and through us. And hopefully that's what they're catching. So obviously, you know, think about those things. So who could you do this with? Just go back for me, Jack. It's all right. I thought there was more there, but there's obviously not. That's fine. I've obviously dropped a couple of slides at some point, and we're all good. So think about that. What are those things that you can be doing? Who are those people? Who are those places? As I think back to the story at the very beginning, I wrestle a little bit with it. Like, it's a bit, firstly, I'm probably not going to be out at 3:30 in the morning. Let's just be honest. That's not my modus operandi. Tony Camillo travels a lot, so he often finds himself in those places. It doesn't have to be as complicated as that. I'm also probably not going to try and seek out things of that nature. Think about the relationships you already have. Who are the people you work with? Who's your extended family? Who are the extended family that you can actually be doing this with? So here's an example of what you might do. You know that Engage Day that's coming up on May the 29th when you don't have to be here? It's like, woo, yay. Who could you get breakfast with that day? Maybe that's what you actually do for your Engage Day. Maybe there's that friend that you've been meaning to catch up with, but you just haven't had the time. You just haven't had the space to do it. Maybe that could be what you do on that day. Maybe you can organize to catch up for lunch and go out and catch up and chat. And they might ask you questions like, hey, aren't you normally in church on a Sunday? And then you can explain, hey, well, actually, we're not doing that today. We're looking to engage. And you're the person I wanted to chat with. You're the person I most wanted to be with in this time. That speaks to someone. They go, wow, you could have done anything and you chose to have lunch with me. You chose to have coffee. You chose to go for a food truck run. I don't know. You think about it. As we look to bless our community, we look to engage those who are beyond the everyday people that we might see. It really is important that we find excuses to eat with people, because it creates an environment that enables relationship to go deeper and conversations to be had. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for food. We thank you that you created us as people that can enjoy and can appreciate food. Lord, I pray that you help us as we look to engage the people around us. I pray that you'd help us as we look to go beyond ourselves. Just to do and to be people who build relationships through these things. Help us to be not afraid of what we might be called or what we might be labeled or what might be going on in that case. But Lord, that we would recognize and be able to help people who are sick to become healthy. They may not know it, they may not understand it, they may not even see what it is. But Lord, that you'd help us with that. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.